thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Our reading this morning comes from Psalm 63. It's on page 567 in the church Bibles. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Listen as you hear the word of God. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down to the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword, and they shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars will be stopped. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, help us to remember that the lives of liars and destroyers will come to a just conclusion. They will not endure. Our relationship to you, our personal Lord and Savior, endures forever. We depend upon you now and forever. We delight in you now and forever. Nothing can defeat your steadfast love. We bless your holy name, Abba, Father. We bless you with our lips. We bless you with our hands lifted up. We bless you with lives in sync with your ways. Forgive us when we forget the one to whom we belong. As Pastor Jose speaks, bring forth thoughts that each of us need to hear and obey. We commit him and we commit ourselves to you in your ways. Maranatha. Amen.
Imagine that you find yourself deserted in the middle of a desert. And all of a sudden, what you start to yearn is for a glass of cold water. You're driven by this desire. Nothing else is important. There's a drive to locate and secure maybe just a drop of water. Now think of this as a spiritual desire. And ask yourself, do you seek God in that way? Right? And all of a sudden, what we realize is that we probably seek a lot of other things. Right? And in that way. And for some of us, we might even sacrifice our time, our family, our joy over these things that we believe we need, and really those are things that we want, right? And I don't know what that is. It's a little crackle in the, it's a loose wire somewhere, right? Yeah. Unless it's in my ear, because I'm wearing also my hearing aids, right? But here it's, what drives you? What is so important to you that it would consume your thoughts and your drive? And this is what we hear from King David as we dive into Psalm 63. And the subscription to this psalm would say, this is while David was in the wilderness of Judah. And here's what you have to ask yourself. What would drive him there to the wilderness of Judah? Right, as what was he running from, or was he running to something? Right, and as you study the life of King David, and you ask yourself, you know, what are the events in his life that would have led to this? Most theologians would point to the time when his son Absalom was fighting for the throne, right? Imagine that for a minute, right? Your son is going to oppose you to the point that he's willing to put you to death. Right? And you ask yourself, well, what would happen in the life of somebody that would cause him or her to do what they do? And that's why we're grateful for Scripture, because you can go to 2 Samuel chapter 13 to 19, and there you have the story of Absalom, right? So I'm just going to summarize it for you. David, because he had many wives, he also had many sons and daughters from those relationships that he had, right? So he had a son, Absalom. Absalom had a sister, Tamar. However, David had a son, Armon, and he was from another relationship. Now, Armon saw his sister, Tamar, and he was enamored with her. He wanted her. And he devised a scheme, and in the end, he ended up raping her. And then she went back to her brother, Absalom, and told him what had happened. And then he felt that it was his responsibility to venge her, to protect her, because now she has been, you know, her virginity was taken from her, and it would be difficult for her to marry within that culture. So 2 years went by, and he set up for this harvest dinner where he invited all of his brothers, and Ammon was there. And Absalom ordered his servants in the midst of this dinner to kill his brother. Right? And King David would hear of this, and he would be upset, and Absalom would leave Jerusalem. But then eventually, right, King David would have him come back to Jerusalem. Absalom would want to be in the presence of the king, but the king really didn't want anything to do with him. And then scripture says that during that time, he would set up kind of his office at the city gate, and as the people were coming into Jerusalem, he would become a judge, and he would judge all of their cases. And eventually, scripture would say that he stole the hearts of the people. And all of a sudden, the people started to lift him up. And Absalom started to badmouth his father, the king. And eventually, David would be frightened, and he would leave Jerusalem, and he would go into the wilderness of Judah, right? And here's what you need to come to terms with, right? It's family dysfunction has happened long before your family dysfunction. So we're in good company, right? And now you have these two groups of people that are fighting for this position of power and authority. But the difference is David is the one that's been appointed by God, not Absalom. Right? Absalom's trying to steal something that's not his. But then you also hear the heart of a father, that even though the son is trying to hurt him, the father would give an order and say, you know what, when you capture Absalom, don't harm him. Don't hurt him, right? But the people that were serving with David didn't care for that, right? And then during one of these chases, Absalom's hair got stuck in an oak tree, and he ended up just hanging there, and the horse just, the donkey just left him. And one of David's servants saw him, went back to one of David's general, and then 11 individuals took spears and killed him there on the tree. And scripture would say that David's heart was broken, right? And you can hear, he would say, oh, Absalom, my son, right? Because he didn't want that for his son, right? He didn't want that for him. And, right, so if you have time, read that story in 2 Samuel chapter 13 through 19, right? It's a great story. But out of that is where most theologians would say we get Psalm 63, right? A Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, right? And here's the piece of thirsting, desiring God. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in the dry and weary land where there is no water, right? To desire God that desperately, right? To want him, to want an answer to the problems that are facing David, for the problems that you and I face today. And if we're honest, sometimes the answer that God gives us, we don't want, right? If we're honest. Sometimes we know God gives us an answer and we like double down. No, I'm going to pray harder, right? Because I don't like this one, right? And But it's getting to that place where you are seeking God. And here's the thing, right? It's we do not need to have our backs up against the wall to seek God this way. We don't have to be overwhelmed with life to all of a sudden turn to God and say, Lord, I earnestly seek you now because I need an answer now. Right? It's, if he's your God, through the work of Christ our Lord, then Christ, by his finished work, makes him accessible to you and to me. Right? We don't have to be desperate. He's available here and now for you and for me to seek him, to draw near to him, and to know that he's faithful enough to answer. I might not understand his answer, right? But he answers because he wants to. He wants to make himself known to you and to me. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. Behold your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Right? It's, you can imagine King David in the wilderness of Judah, and what he is imagining in his mind is the time where he was able to worship him in the tabernacle. Right? To be in the presence of God. Right? To be there with the Ark of the Covenant, right? Because one of the things I found interesting, right, was that as David was escaping Jerusalem, right, he was bringing with him the Ark of the Covenant, right? And it's almost like, how does that work? Right? It's like you're running away because you're fearing for your life. And you're taking God with you. Like, how does that work? Right? It was just an eye-opening moment as I'm reading scripture and going, that doesn't make sense, but it does make sense, right? Because that's how we are, right? But here the psalm says, right, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. So he's remembering those moments of worshiping God. Behold your power and your glory because of your steadfast love, your chesed, right? And that is the loyal covenant love that God makes with his people. And it's a love that is overwhelming. It's better than life itself. My lips will praise you, right? That's in the middle of the circumstance, you're going to praise God, right? And a lot of times, we're not praising God. Lord, where are you? Right? It's sometimes he seems so far away, but in reality, he is so close to us. Right? And so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyous lips. Right? To praise God, our Lord and Savior, right? As long as we live. To lift up his name, the name of Jesus, right? Where scripture reminds us that every knee will bow at the uttering of his name. My soul, right? And through these past weeks, we've been looking at this picture of our soul, and in the Hebrew, that is nefesh, right? It is this place deep inside of you and me as living beings, right? And we have that. And it's this place deep inside of you that is longing, seeking for God, right? It aches. And it's that place that only God can satisfy, right? And then he gives this illustration as with the fat and rich food, right? It's like, have you ever sat at a meal like at Thanksgiving, right? And you look at everything that's laid out, and all of a sudden you start eating, and you are filled, and all of a sudden somebody says, oh, we have dessert now. It's like, oh, right? It's like, I don't have any room for that, right? But all of a sudden you give it like 5-10 minutes, and all of a sudden you find room for dessert, right? And you are just filled to the gills, right? That's the picture he has here, right? And all of a sudden, instead of feeling uncomfortable, what you're saying is, Lord, thank you for satisfying me. Right? Thank you for giving me my fill. And it's almost like that picture that you know you don't deserve it, but God then just pours it out even that much more, right? With joyful lips, right? It's almost as if you're sitting there and as you're eating morsels, right, and you are enjoying it, you're looking at everybody at the table. Did you try this yet? It's so good. It's so good. I don't know what you did with the turkey this year, but let me tell you, the stuffing is excellent, right? As we prepare for Thanksgiving in a few weeks. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wing, I will sing for joy. Right, all of a sudden, that same idea of being filled, he now shifts, right? And he's in his bed, and he's relaxing, and he's being restored for the next day. And all of a sudden, you can see that his mind doesn't stop, but he continues to meditate on God. He's probably saying, Lord, thank you for this glorious day that you had given me. Thank you for allowing me to come back to bed and just be restored. It's the idea of a prayerful life from morning, afternoon to evening, where God and God alone is the one that's consuming your thought because you are thirsty for him. You want him more than anything. Right? You know that when you and I seek for God, that is the greatest desire you and I can have. God. Right? And here's the thing, those are the prayers that he answers because he makes himself known to you and to me. For you have been my help. Right? Ask yourself, how many times has he shown up for you? Right? How many times? Right? And somewhere along the line, when we find ourselves praying, when we need him and he doesn't answer the way we want him to answer, right? Our flesh tends to see, you abandoned me. See, maybe you're not God. Maybe I did do something that you're holding against me. Right? And it isn't about you. Right, it is about his plan that is unfolding, and sometimes I don't know what his plans are. But even though I don't know what they are, I will sing for joy, because he is my God, he is your God, he is the one that we have come to worship. And to be under the shadow of his wing is to know that he is protecting you. Not just a little bit, but a lot. And sometimes, not only does he protect you from your enemies, but sometimes he protects you from you, right? From you, from the bad decisions that sometimes we make because we're full of fear, we're we don't know, right? And all of a sudden God like restrains us from making bad choices. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Right? So ask yourself the question, right? Is he clinging to God because God is upholding him? If he wasn't clinging to God, would God still be upholding him? It's to know that regardless of your circumstance, right, that God has you, right? And that's why when I read this psalm, right, I believe that this psalm is written after the events, right? So he's reflecting on what happened. Right? Because this does not match somebody who's carrying the Ark of the Covenant out of Jerusalem, right? It doesn't match, right? Because God doesn't need to run away, right? God doesn't need our help. But I believe David is reflecting on how God delivered him. And he's remembering and he's saying, my soul clings to you, right? That's the deepest part of your being clings to him and his right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down to the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackal, right? It's those who go against you and in reality go against God's desires don't have no way of winning, right? They're going to be destroyed, right? It's, you see what scripture says? That those bodies that are going to be slain will become dog food, right? And you got to remember that this is his son he's talking about, right? This is Absalom, right? That's, and you and I sometimes have individuals who mean to do harm to you and to me, and we feel as if, how can they get away with it, Lord? Lord, when are you going to do something with them? Lord, I've been praying that prayer of heaping coals on their head. Come on, Lord. Get them. Right? It's, and in God's time, right, it's they get theirs. Right? So part of this is learning how to give God what's God's. And you taking responsibility for the things that are yours, right? And one of the things I've learned years ago is no matter how much I try to do God's job, he will never do my job. I need to know that. And the thing is, sometimes I don't see that when I'm in the middle of distress. But the king shall rejoice in God, right? That's David. He's going to celebrate. He's going to rejoice in God, and all who swear by him shall exult. For the mouth of liars will be stopped. Right? And here's the thing. When we look at Absalom's life, right, he got in the position he got because of the lies he spread about his dad. It is how he stole the hearts of the people, right? Because Absalom was saying, I'm here for you. Your king's not here for you. Right? And he did that for 4 years. Right? People coming through the main gate of Jerusalem, he would sit there and listen to all their complaints, right? And little by little, he would say, I'm here for you. Where's your king? Right? And here's the thing that you and I need to learn, right? That all plans that are not ordained by God are plans that are going to fail, right? You should know that, right? That if there's a plan and if it's not driven by God's desire and will, it's going to fail. And it has nothing to do with the person behind it that's driving it, right? Even if for a moment it looks like it has succeeded. Right, because that's what happened when we look at Absalom, right? David fled and he was sitting on the throne, right? He took over his palace. He slept with the concubines, right? It's like he did all of that, right? It looked like David was going to lose, right? But you got to remember, David was in the place that he was at because God wanted him to be king, not Absalom. And you got to remember that any lies come from the author of lies, right? And that would be Satan, and that would come from Genesis chapter 3. So all of this brings us back to where we started. Oh God, my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water, right? It's not only should we thirst for God when we're in trouble, we should thirst for God when we're not in trouble, right? So when trouble comes, we would be prepared, right? And as we thirst for him, here's how we quench our soul. Express your desperate soul thirst to God, for God, for Jesus. Right? Because he's the only one that is going to satisfy. If you're looking for better relationship with your family, seek Jesus. If you're looking for better neighbors, seek Jesus. If you want a better job or a better relationship with your boss or other, the people you work with, seek Jesus, right? He's the best for you, right? And know that this will satisfy your soul, right? And then your enemies and their faith, God will take care of that. Right, you don't have to go out of your way other than to seek Jesus, right? And then in the end, to know who clings to you as you hold on to him, right? It's because he will not let you go, especially if he's in you and you are in him, right? And here's the thing, right? Is he enough for you? Is he enough? And my hope and prayer is that he is more than enough for you. Amen? Let us pray as we prepare for communion. So Lord, we are grateful. Grateful for you. Grateful for these words that encourage us today. That in the midst of our struggle, that we are able to seek you and thirst for you, and that you are more than enough to satisfy, to quench our desire in our soul. And Lord, I pray that that would be true for each and everyone who's here. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts to come to the table, I pray again that in these elements, you would be enough for us. Lord, we thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, blessed it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body broken for you." Then a little later on in the evening, he took the cup, the third cup, the cup of redemption. He said, "This represents my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins." Right? So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my saving death until I come again. He says, "Do this, do all of this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for this table. And Lord, I pray that you would set these elements apart, that they would be your body broken, your blood shed. Lord, help us as we commune with you. We thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.